Our scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 9. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." The Word of God. We're happy this morning to have Denise Stauffer and Trevor Stifler. They both spent February to June doing a fall semester in Australia, and they've learned many things. I don't know whether purple is the Australian color, but they both are in purple. But I do know that they did not find Nemo while they were there. Please welcome Denise and Trevor.
Good morning. So we're here to talk to you about Australia. And while we were there, we were based in Sydney. So we spent practically every weekend in the city. And we even spent a week in the outback. And we did see wild kangaroos. And I did get to pet a kangaroo and a koala. And we saw emus. And we even ate kangaroo, which might sound kind of gross, but it was actually really good. And we had Vegemite, which wasn't good. So don't have that. And all that's great, and it was a huge part of our experience, but that's not what we're here to talk to you about today. For both of us, our adventure to Australia began before we were even there. We received an email about 2 months before we left talking about the logistics of the trip and about packing. And in the email, it talked about how we were only allowed to have one suitcase, and it could only be 50 pounds. And I kept my cool on the outside, but on the inside, I was freaking out a little bit because as a female, one suitcase for 4 months and only 50 pounds is really limiting. And so when I started my packing process, I realized I wanted to pack everything I have, and not just stuff, but everything in my life. I wanted to pack my parents and my sister and my roommates, who are my best friends, and my cheerleaders, and all the friends here, and all my friends back home. I wanted everything with me. And don't get me wrong, I was really excited. I was so excited to go to Australia, but I realized that I wasn't ready to give up my life here. I just wasn't ready. I've never experienced anything out of here, and I wasn't willing to let go at first. And ultimately, that's just a really selfish attitude to have. And so when I was actually packing, I realized just how much stuff I had. I had such a hard time not packing certain clothes because as a female, we like our cute clothes and we like a lot of them. But you know, after calling Trevor multiple times and saying, "Can I pack this? Should I not pack this?" and him telling me multiple times that there are a lot of things that I should get rid of, I had to downsize. And while this was all happening, it kind of hit me. Now, I've been following Jesus for quite a number of years now, but it took my preparation to Australia for me to realize that I'm actually really selfish and I'm really focused on myself and on everything that I have. And I was so focused on myself that I wasn't focusing on what God was going to do in my time in Australia. I was focused on, I'm leaving, and I'm not going to have all this stuff. I realized how materialistic my thoughts were, and ultimately, I was more focused on myself than God.
For me, as most guys know, the 50 pounds was pretty easy the night before. Just threw tons of clothes in, a couple pairs of underwear, you know, good to go. And but before Australia, I was struggling. I was really confused, and I was on this search to figure out who I was and what I was going to do in my life. And some of you know me, my major is human services, not in it for the money. So that's been a struggle for me. It's like, how am I, when I graduate, what am I going to do? So I was really confused. And when Australia popped up over the summer, I was like, you know what, I'll fill it out, see what happens. Got accepted. I was like, all right, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. And then just, all right, I'll go. And so once it started, I used it as a way to get out. I was using Australia to run from myself. And if any of you know, running from yourself is kind of impossible. No matter how fast I run, I'm still with me. So it's just not going to happen. And also, I was using Australia to get away and to see if I can figure things out. I was on this journey, and I was trying to get away from this journey. But what I didn't realize was when I got to Australia, my journey didn't stop. It started to go faster and started to become more clear. It went from a journey to a walkabout.
So if the idol of materialism didn't hit me hard enough before we left, it hit me a lot while I was there. I didn't have a cell phone the entire time I was there. We had very little access to the internet. And so, as you can imagine, you know, I'm stuck in this little bubble that I've kind of created for myself, and I now have no access to the people that know me best, and I can't get on the internet all the time, so I can't waste my time away on Facebook. So, needless to say, my comfortable little world and my own personal bubble, God bursted it. He wasn't going to have it anymore. And so at first it was really challenging, and I was really uneasy about it. But after I got used to it, I honestly believe that it was the most incredible thing that ever happened to me. And God was just, he was showing me all this stuff about the world that I felt I had been missing out on for the majority of my life. And he did this in a variety of different ways. I lived with a Greek family, and there were also Iranian students that lived in our house. And there was also another American student. So we had three different cultures living in one house. Imagine the dinner conversations. They were crazy. And our classes taught us so much about government and Aboriginal issues and foreign affairs, land and poverty, things that I don't think I would have ever tried to study before I went away. I would have never looked up these things on my own. And so the world just, it seemed so much bigger. And so as God was opening my eyes up to all these things, he really started to point out to me a lot of the issues that the world has. And he did this through a church that I worked at while I was there. It was called Newtown Mission, and it was placed in an urban setting. There were a lot of homeless people around, so I was going to be serving in a homeless ministry. Now, I've never served the homeless before, so I've never been around them, and don't get me wrong, I had lots of compassion for them, but I never really knew what to do, and I felt kind of helpless about the homeless. So working with them was really new to me, and it was really nerve-wracking at first. And so the church that I worked at, they had meals for them every day, but they had a special service on Thursdays. They would have a chapel service, and then they would have a meal. And the whole group that was at the church, we all worked on Thursdays. And so I thought that my experience was just going to be, okay, I'm going to serve them food, and I'm not really going to get to know anyone. But thankfully, it was completely different. I actually shared meals with these people. I got to know them. I got to know them on name basis. I gave them hugs all the time. I got to know their stories. They got to know my stories. And it was really amazing. These people were, a lot of them were on the streets, and they had suffered so much in their lives, and yet they were really happy. You know, they had genuine smiles on their faces every time I saw them, and they were always just encouraging one another, and they were happy to be together, and they were happy to see us when we came in. And I remember thinking to myself, how are these people so happy? Like, how are they so happy in their circumstances? And more so, how can I be so unhappy sometimes in my life when my circumstances are so much better than theirs? it made me wonder, like, how could I be so stressed or worried about my life? How, because ultimately my problems just make me worry. They make me worry about myself and they make me unhappy. But their problems, they don't overcome their lives as mine seem to do sometimes. So once again, just through this process of Newtown and through the whole experience, it seemed as though God was pointing out to me how self-centered I can be and how focused I can be on myself and my problems and my struggles, rather than being Christ-centered and focusing on the redemption and the restoration that he can bring to life.
I made confusion my idol. It was running my life, okay? So I was pretty much walking without faith. And I became a Christian my junior year of high school, and it's been a struggle every day of my life. And for many of you, it probably is a struggle. And I just had, during this trip, once we got to Australia, it strengthened my faith in Jesus. And one of the things is my journey became a walkabout. And for those of you that don't know what a walkabout is an Aboriginal rite of passage. When you're 10 years old, the boys are taken away from their tribal camp and with an elder, and they are taken out into the wilderness and learn story after story after story. And there are so many levels of stories, it is unbelievable. We had an experience of going on a walkabout with an Aboriginal guy, and he could only tell us one or two levels of certain stories because we were not Aboriginal people. So he could not tell us. And I feel I could really relate to this because I felt like a little boy trying to figure out what he wants to do in his life because I have no clue what I want to do. And I'm a senior now and I still don't know what I want to do. One of the most awakening experiences, though, was actually my mission experience. Hers was working with the homeless at a church. Mine was called Jesus Cares. And we would go out in vans to the homeless where they were sleeping. Like this, it was their home on the street. We went about on a Friday and Saturday night about 1 o'clock in the morning. It's late where they're sleeping, but they're up. And, well, half of them are sleeping. But we wake them up, give them food, just talk to them, try to hear their stories. But on a particular night, I think it was a Saturday night, at like 11:30, almost midnight, we get to this central Sydney, and I see this guy sitting on a bench. He's definitely no older than I am, and he's just sitting there. And I go up to him, I sit next to him, don't say a word, I just sit next to him, and we just sit there for about like 15 minutes, just not saying a word. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed like something happened, and he just started talking. And this is what I found out. He's 21, his name was Tyler. He was 21 years old. He's been on the streets for 3 days. And what happened was, is he was living in Canberra, which, for those of you who don't know, is the capital of Australia. And he was living with some friends in an apartment. And what happened was, is they brought him into like this gang in Australia. And what he needed to do was steal from this rich house down and out of the suburbs. And what happened was he said no. So what they did was they kicked him out, they beat him up, took his wallet, took all his money, took his possessions, said don't come back, so he went to Sydney. He had no money, and he couldn't get a place because even if he had money, they would be able to find him. So he was on the streets pretty much hiding. And for me, it's like 21 years old, and he is worried about where he's going to eat, what he's going to eat, where he's going to sleep, and what he's going to do. And for me, I just felt, wow, how selfish can I be that I'm at a school about to graduate, and I think my problems are, what am I going to do after I graduate? And this guy, he doesn't even know what he's going to eat that night. So we started just talking, and I realized that we're both on a different walkabout. We're both at different levels and at different times, but we can still learn stuff from each other. And the one thing that I learned the most was that he still had faith, even though he was probably at his lowest point he would ever be. And it just gave me such an inspiration to just like go out there and do something, even if I don't know what I'm going to do. And I saw that this guy was struggling. And for me and him, we were both struggling with different things, but we were both struggling with the same thing. And that was just trying to make it in a world that is sinful. But because Jesus is here and saved him, well, he saved for us, but it's just hard to realize that we are all together. And last thing I want to say about my missions field is that going out to the homeless was very difficult. I was scared so bad that first night, realizing I had to go out at like past 10 p.m. out in the streets with just a couple other people with Jesus Cares written on my t-shirt and just giving out food and not knowing what they're going to do. And being in Australia, 911's not what I'm supposed to call, and I didn't know what number was to call. So I was a little scared. But I just want to make the point that it doesn't matter if we know what we need to do later on. What matters is now and what we're doing now.
So now that we've covered before and during Australia, how has Australia affected our lives since we're back in America? And for both of us, it's been really hard. And to be honest, I'm still figuring out every day what I've learned and what I'm still learning. It's a process. But what I do know is that Australia made me care so much more about everything outside of myself. Because if you all think about it, we're all a little selfish. Well, we're actually probably all really selfish. And if you're anything like me, you probably spend too much time on Facebook, too much time on your cell phone, maybe a little too much money on things that you don't really need, and we're not spending enough time caring about what God cares about the world that he's given us here. But Jesus himself, in the verse that we talked about earlier, tells us that we could gain the whole world but lose ourselves. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't want to gain the whole world and lose myself. I don't want to get caught up in who I am and just, I don't know, I think it's really miserable, actually. And ultimately, I think what the world has to give us is shallow and it's incomplete compared to a full and abundant life in Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's a lot easier for me to care about myself. It's a lot easier for me to care about what's going on in here rather than care about what's going on outside of myself in the world that God's given us. But I really feel as though in Australia, God really graciously, and I mean very, very graciously, pointed out to me my selfish habits in order to replace them with habits that show that I care about him and about his world. And I just feel as though my life is so much more fulfilling now. You know, I have a purpose. And like Trevor, I don't know what's going to happen after I graduate. I'm a youth ministry major. I could get a job in a church. After working with the homeless, I kind of want to work in an urban setting. But I have no idea where I'm going, and I have no idea what's going to happen. But I know that where I'm going is with God. And I know that I care more about his world now. And I'm just anxious to see where he's going to take me next.
Like Denise said, being back in the United States is really challenging and really hard. I've grown up outside the United States, so I had a little experience with this. But it was more difficult because I'm older now, and I had to take more responsibility for what I was doing in another country. And being back, it was crazy because I had to reconnect with friends here and had to remember that I needed to go to chapel every week, and I needed to remember to wait in line at Alex's, and it just things that I forgot came screaming back at me. And I just remember that I realized that life goes on whether we're happy or not. No matter what happens in life, if we get hit with something big, life's still going to go on whether we take it or we let it go. And Tyler, the homeless guy that I met, Tyler, will always be in the back of my mind now, because I know that no matter what, there's still hope. Also, Australia made me more aware of my surroundings and other people. It ignited my passion for other people and the environment. And I know we have the Go Green mugs as well, and that's awesome. And one thing Denise and I have started is we don't shop at certain places. We don't use plastic bags and things like that. We're just trying to be more aware of the environment. We learned that from Aboriginal people that taught us in our classes. And I feel like we have an obligation to watch out for others and watch out for our own environment, because later on, other generations will reap the benefits of what we do now. So we do have a big responsibility, just throwing away a piece of paper in the recycle bin instead of the trash can, something simple like that. And the last thing is that I'm on a walkabout. Each and every one of you are on a walkabout. But the key thing is we're never on a walkabout alone. God is always with us. Whether you think you're alone or not, he's always with us. We both were really impacted by studying abroad in Australia because it gave us a new perspective. It challenged our pre-existing notions of pretty much everything. And it gave us a chance to be more aware of others and to be more able to listen and to understand where other people are coming from different cultures. I believe that God used this experience to challenge our own faith. And especially with me, I was like, I needed something to shake me up a little bit and to get me refocused. And sometimes that's what we need because we get too comfortable in our lives here. I just wanted to leave you with a short Australian Aboriginal proverb that says, "We are all visitors to this time, this place. We are just passing through. Our purpose here is to observe, to learn, to grow, and to love. And then we return home." Thank you.